Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. Everybody in the house today, it's me, Carlos Reiza, Tony, and Oscar, and the rest of the crew, and we are laughing because...
I was trying to hold it, and I could not.
No, we can't hold it. It's so loopy. We're so loopy.
We're feeling some kind of way today, ain't we, huh?
Yep, man. Tony, how's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. I had my second vaccine today, and it makes me...
And we're seeing it.
We're watching you transform in real time. Yeah.
Also, we wanted to say, I don't know, did you guys already, we haven't talked about this. Congratulations on being on The Simpsons. Did we say this publicly?
Yes!
Wait, can we? It came out on Sunday. I mean, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel comfortable talking about it? What a fucking blast.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Que palo.
Look at me saying blast. What I want to say is que palo. And then I'm like, what do you say palo?
Blast.
That's so awesome, bro.
Thank you.
I know. How was that experience watching yourself in animated form and in such an iconic TV show?
Well, the character existed already, but it looks so much like me. I'm just pretending
Dude,
it's me.
When you posted the thing, I was like, oh, he got Simpsified. He got that app.
Yes.
No, because like for those of you who don't know, that character was voiced by Hank Azaria, who is not Cuban and not gay.
No.
So he also voiced Apu. And then after a lot of people were like, hey, listen, I think it's problematic that you're voicing all of these minority characters.
Yeah.
He did a very gracious thing to offer it to other people. And then Tony got
Tony sent in a headshot and they didn't even hear him. We're like, we got it. That's it.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how it happened. A headshot. No.
Hollywood. It's easy.
It's Hollywood. I made a video. They were actively looking to recast and I didn't know that. And I put up a video asking them to cast me and they saw it. And
they're like, stop. You had us at, please let me audition.
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm. maybe they didn't even listen to it. They're just like, wait, we animated this person?
I will say though, Tony, you sound exactly like him.
Yeah.
Like that is who you are. You are that person. Like you are this person. You've always been that person. Mm-hmm. Like it's just meant to be. But you did it. It's something about you creating that tape, you putting it out into the universe, and the universe was like, yes, we see you and we acknowledge you and we will celebrate you.
We'll take it from
and
there.
That's exactly what happened. You know, there's so many people that sit on their butts being like, oh, I want this, I want that, I want the other, and don't do a damn thing to get things done. Mm-hmm. And Tony's a shining example of if you want this, fucking do it. Mm-hmm. And you never know who's out there. Right. And so I think that story is magical in its conception to begin with. And then you're reaping the benefits
now,
which
bro.
Is magical, incredible. And you are literally an icon. You are an icon.
You're
Tony.
A Simpson.
You're an icon.
Simpson icon.
Right. So what does she sound like an alien? You are a Simpson.
You are a Simpson.
You're the son of a Sim.
She's never heard the show.
I mean, I've been watching, shut up. I've been watching The Simpsons since I was able to watch The Simpsons. Cause when we were younger, you know, there was a certain age that our parents were certain households, my tios, they would not let us watch it. Like one of my tios' house, you had to be over 12 or something or whatever. So yeah, I mean, when you told us and we had to stay quiet about it, I was just like, oh my God, that is so cool. Like, I was excited to tell my big brother because he's the one that I would watch it with. And I was like, it's not me, but this is cool. And tell my family and Alejandro's mom and we all watched it. And it just felt really cool to, see someone that deserves it to also get it,
Can I say one thing about this that will be a perfect segue to our Pika? like like a full on ramp onto the next onto the pica.
Dale.
It's a full on ramp.
A friend of mine that I'm only in touch with via Instagram and Facebook is a producer on Brockmire. And I wanted to reach out to him to send a message to Hank Azaria because I truly think he's an iconic, brilliant performer. And I'm like, I respect the hell out of him. And I'm honored and humbled to be able to do a role that he voiced. But the friend of mine that I wanted to talk to has a problematic name because of a comedian right now. So he changed his handles to change his name. And I couldn't, I forgot what the new handle was. Until today. Oh, so today I reached out. I'm like, hey, can you please send this to Hank Azaria, whom I respect very much. And that person's name is Chris D'Elia.
Wow. Talk about
a segue.
A baton handoff.
Wow. Bueno, Carlitos.
Handoff. And that's so weird that you mentioned that. No, I think that's what I wanted to bring up for that pica. Because recently Chris D'Elia started to show his presence again on social media. He started to do his podcast, congratulations. And it got me thinking about like our duties as friends and what's the level of loyalty. Because a lot of time, you know, like the story goes and for a lot of times, like for him, like everybody turned their back on him when it was happening. A lot of people that were like, he felt were like real friends. And so like, he's going through it. I mean, I saw a little bit of what he was talking about in the first episode that he recorded. In terms of like just the shift in the realization of who your real friends are, but also it's a sensitive subject because, you know, at what point, again, depending on the situation, depending on how bad, you know, obviously it's a very nuanced conversation, but it makes me think also like, at what point do people just turn their back on because it's just like, oh, I don't even want to deal with this. And at what point, if you are a true friend, if you are a real friend and you've been a real friend to somebody, isn't, you know, being a friend for them in this tough times. And I think obviously it's nuanced because I would say like, as long as the person is not like, yeah, I did it and it's okay. You know, as long as there's some kind of like,
I want to know what I mean. Is that your Chris D'Elia impression?
No, that was just kidding. I don't think
Carlos, make a video.
I'm going to voice him. I'm going to take over the congratulations podcast. But that's, you know, it made me think about that because a lot of times, and it doesn't have to be as scandalous. I mean, we could explore it, but I feel like we should talk about it because I think the core of it is not the scandal, but more like our role as friends, a real friendship, a role as friends and to a certain degree, family too. Like, do we just turn our backs on people and or do we stick around?
This is actually, I mean, you brought it up obviously before and I was like, oh, this is a great pica because I think especially we are all in the industry. So obviously we see like a lot of people, you know, we do live in cancel culture. So, you know, it's weird when it's somebody that we actually also like know, because again, we are in the industry, so we might not be BFF with a lot of these people, but like we've seen them or like we've done shows with them maybe or whatever that is. I will say what I like said earlier, which is I think for me, I immediately would just be like, okay, like one, how close am I to this person? Mm-hmm. And then if it is like a close person, like you're saying, like what, it's hard to like even be like, well, let me see the level of how bad this was that they did. You know, sure, there's something, maybe you tweeted something problematic is very different to me than like, you know, raping someone. Like, that's just like facts. Right. You know what I mean? Like, not to be like too assault. Like, yeah, or sure. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, like, it just depends, I think, like what they did. So I think that like that always is where my brain goes. I don't know about you guys, because I know a lot of friends that will immediately, they don't care about that. Like, I have had friends where I'm having this conversation with them as well. And they're like, I don't give a fuck. That's it. And I'm like, dude, but like that, like, I don't know, like you were in their wedding or whatever that is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Type of thing. And they're like, no, that like, no, like they tweeted this or they did this to this person or whatever that is. And I'm like, okay, like. And that's fair. Like, that person, obviously, like, I respect whatever their choice is. But it's interesting how some people don't, they don't even care. They're just immediately like, fuck it. No, cut off.
And I think that's such a extreme example. Not extreme, but like a very, you know, publicized and very obviously out there example. But like, also, like, when you go lower, like you were saying, like, I'm thinking, like,
even when friends, like, you know, somebody cheats on somebody, that like a couple that have been together, like maybe in that sense, I feel like sometimes people take this those same extreme actions over people just because, you know, like the divorce that happens between friendships and like the, oh, you cheated on, so you can't, you know, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much ground to cover with that.
I like that you actually just brought it down to that, because I think that's easier to explore than like the like more like famous people type of thing. Because again, you're right. It is like publicized. Like if my friend, you know, or my neighbor or whatever it is, like ain't nobody know about them maybe. So like, yeah, like it's my decision might be different. I don't know. What do you guys think, Oscar and Tony?
Yeah, you mentioned cancel culture and earlier. I think there's something, you know, a lot of people are weirdly up in arms about cancel culture and how that's a backlash in society. And I don't think cancel culture is a issue, because I do think people should be held accountable for their actions that they've made. But I do think there is a question, and a valid question, in regards to forgiving culture. Mm. The act of not just canceling someone, but what the road is when it comes to forgiving someone for their actions. For example, with the Chris thing, he took that year off. Like, did he do work to better himself? Like, what was that journey like for him? You know, we're immediately up in arms about like, oh, he's coming back. Did we expect him to disappear off the face of the planet? Maybe that is justified. Maybe that's exactly what needs to happen for these problematic ass men to just disappear and go away forever and ever. But the reality is that's not going to happen, because I think we're a little torn about what to do in that road to recovery.
Yeah. You know, and I think people need to decide that, because that's what he did before he started actually what I did see, it wasn't his actual podcast. It was, he came on to basically for the first time talk about stuff, and he kind of broke it down. So at that point you do get to decide it, because it is a public setting. Like, people then decide whether they accept it or they don't, because you could say the same thing about Louis C.K. and how he like came out and the things that he said, you could argue that made it worse. So people are like, what? This is after everything that's happened? This is what you're saying?
100%. So, like, yes, that person was not willing to do the work.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, I think obviously nuance matters, but I like what you're saying about the forgiving culture, which is hopefully something that'll come around, because yes, I do believe that cancel culture has a purpose. The problem, and I think why people are having an issue with it, is because it's that thing of like, how dare somebody, you know, we're all like, I think it comes down to this, and it sounds awful when people say it, but it's like, is everybody perfect? If nobody's perfect, how do I get, you know, like banished from society for this one thing and not allowed to like to be better about it? So I think that's, I think, where it comes from, because I think it maybe comes from guilt of like, bro, this cancel culture, because I think ultimately we all know that we've done stuff that's questionable. Not necessarily to the levels of the, you know, I'm not going to the extremes, but I'm sure all done things that we're not proud of. So, yeah. So I think, yeah, that'd be an interesting way to look at
it. But it's interesting, too, that I do want to say about this, like, forgiving thing, because there are instances in which, I mean, we're seeing less of that today, but it's still happening today, where we are quick to forgive a lot of men that have done wrong, but we are so quick to villainize women who have done wrong.
Thank you.
It's this like bizarre double standard that we see, which, I mean, surprising no one, that like women are really like burned at the stake, like witches, straight up like witches, for doing one wrong thing, where we tend to give the benefit of the doubt to men. And I think it's because there's more people willing to have men's back. And I'm thinking of a specific man who was in charge of our country for a minute, who were so willing to back him up despite the atrocities, the monstrous things he's done, and still sort of got off, I would say, scot-free. Yeah. Meanwhile, it's like people are less willing to have a woman's back once she's done something.
Yeah, wrong. You know what? That made me think of what you just said, is like what happened with Janet Jackson, and to a certain degree, what happened with Britney Spears. And that, I think, now that we have distance from it, we were all.
Oh my God!
With the way that Janet Jackson got treated.
Well, who was the bad guy in that scenario?
Timberlake.
Well, no. Back in the day, it was Janet. It was Britney for breaking his heart. Yeah. But it's like, dolls. Come on. No. The culprit is Mr. JT himself.
Crimea River, indeed.
I also think women are also more forgiving as well than men, which is interesting because we are, like what you said, like we, like I think even to myself, like I've had issues with men and women. And even like this past year, like I was actually like recently, like just like talking to someone, I was like, you know, like I think back to like certain females that like I felt like did me wrong maybe, or like I had some, you know, type of hate because of something they said or did resentment. or whatever that was, or it was just maybe somebody was rude to me or whatever it was, you know, or I felt disrespected. And, you know, I've talked to you guys about several situations, you know, before whatever, but I like kind of like thought about it. I was like, you know what, like I'm going to like use this year to like maybe like give these people the benefit of the doubt and like kind of try to wipe that clean in my, like in my at least energy and my like brain. But I feel like men don't think that way. Like, I don't think they ever think about that towards like the females, but I do think they think about that like with a man. Oh no, but he's cool. But he's, you know what I mean? But what, like what you said, like I think, and I think girls or women, whatever, like we're like a little bit more like, okay, yeah, like, let's, you know, like, I don't know what it is, but I do feel like we are more forgiving.
You saying that makes my blood run freaking hot because, like a true Aries, because I go back to add on to what you were saying, Ryza, because I do fully agree with you. I do think, and correct me if I'm wrong again, because I might be speaking out of turn here, mm-hmm. is that women tend to not forgive other women and will forgive men quicker than they do other women.
Absolutely.
And a case in point, the whole women locker talk excuse for Trump's grabbing by the pussies thing. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that that's a thing that actually happened is, like, unbelievable. Mm. And it speaks of the collective trauma that a lot of females have had in American society, where they're, like, used to being objectified, and so they're normalizing that trauma.
What was crazier about that situation, which at the beginning, you know, like we weren't ready for how crazy a ride we were going to get on emotional.
That was only the beginning. Yeah.
The what's his name is the one that got fired and he didn't even say it.
Yeah.
Billy Bush is the one that got. How does that even. What?
That's true. One like, of them got fired and the other one became the president of the United States of America.
Interesante.
Interesting.
Wait, so let me, I want to bring it back though to what Carlito said about like a couple that you guys, like a couple that maybe somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody cheated on the other.
Oh, yeah. Smaller picture. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. No. Yeah. I'm like, because.
But you're right.
Deheighten.
Well, because.
Deheighten, exactly.
Because I think for us, like, yeah, like we do know like celebrities. And like we know like stuff that has happened or like whatever, and we've known them maybe, but also like it's just different. It's just a different, it's so different to relate to.
It's a
whole different thing. So like, have you guys ever been in that situation where you had a friend that like have you, like, because I can tell you right now, I've gone out with like friends knowing that they have a significant other, and I have seen them try to hook up with another person in front of me, and I know their significant other, and it's weird because sometimes I'm like, well, I'm like obviously closer to this person, but I really do like, you know, their other part, you know, their part, whatever that is, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, it makes me so anxious. And that's what I don't like, and I feel like that is something that when you become older you kind of think about, because I know when I was younger I was like, I whatever, not my problem, but now I'm older and I'm like, I know, mijita, like, don't, like, if you're gonna do that, like, don't do it in front of me, bro. I don't want to fucking have that shit in my fucking mind, because that's bad karma. I don't want to know about it.
So wait, hold on. So what is it that you're,
my question is,
like, how pulled at?
Well, so how do you feel, like, is that somebody that you would feel like you cannot hang out with or confide if you see them, you know, maybe if they were cheating on their partner in front of you, or like,
oh, like, what's your allegiance?
Yes,
then?
What's your allegiance?
Like, do you turn your a blind eye to it? Do you, like, that's,
oh,
what
my,
you mean?
Gosh, I don't, yeah, I mean, I should hope not. But also, like, I think you have to come into consideration if you're feeling guilty about speaking out towards someone who is, like, cheating. And, you know, we need to clarify that that relationship is a monogamous relationship, yes, and not an open relationship, because those exist. Yeah. You're completely within your right to be, like, to fucking squeal, you know, because that person had the audacity to do it in front of you and then expect you to not tell. Fuck that person. No, 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 no. You ain't going to do that shit to me. Yeah. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
And expect me to keep quiet? Hell no.
Wow.
Well, honestly, it's like, you got to think twice, baby. Yeah. If you think I'm that close to you. No, 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 no. You know, like it's disrespectful to you because it's taking advantage of your friendship with that person, you know, and that's a sign of disrespecting you as well. I mean, they're clearly cheating on their partner, but also not acknowledging you as a friend and putting you in that difficult position. All bets are off, babe. At that moment, all bets are off.
Agreed.
Wow, I'm here for this, Oscar.
I know, me too.
But because listen, here's what I'm going to say. And this is a little bit redundant, but I do feel like we have these elite, we're led to believe that we have these allegiances, these evergreen allegiances to people that might not be the best people and might not even be looking out for you or anybody you love, right? We might be friends with a sociopath who has no ties to anybody and might emotionally manipulate you and the people that you love.
Yep.
I think the way that we've been hardwired is that we tend to think that we owe it to people, even though they are mistreating us.
Well, that's part of the manipulation, because then if you do say something, it's your fault for messing up this thing you're creating. It's not about them doing something
your
wrong.
Ass.
It's gaslighting.
I know. And that's when you know your friend is a sociopath.
And
that's
when
you know your friend's a sociopath.
It makes it easier to make a decision about who you're going to bail on.
Bingo, baby.
But I would
Bingo.
Like to propose one more scenario that was brought up by our amazing producer, Anita. And
we're gonna
was,
really de-heighten with this one.
I'm gonna de-heighten. Listen, here's how I will give it to you though. She asked, how would we feel if someone like one of our friends murdered someone? Right? Because that's like a legit like thing that could happen. And I obviously brought up the show Search Party. And it's she's saying it's a perfectly legitimate question. Yes.
But also, what is the nuance of how the person got murdered?
Yes. That's what I was going to say. Like, because I like it's because then that becomes like, you know, it goes into like.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to add to Anita's question, which I do like a lot.
Go.
You're chilling at your house, minding your own damn business. Uh-huh. You hear a knock on the door. Uh-huh. It's your friend. Uh-huh. It's your close friend, right? This ain't no acquaintance. It's a close buddy. They come up to you and they're like, oh my gosh, Ryza, Tony, Carlos, fill in the blank. I killed somebody. What do I do? The question is, what is your response?
Get out of here. This isn't Search Party.
We need to get rid of the body.
Okay, well, we know where Tony
stands. I don't want any part of this.
Nothing. I think it does honestly depend, because what about if this person was being abused and they were like, you know, trying to escape from their abuser? What about if this was just like a rant? I don't know. Somebody was trying.
But at that point, then it shouldn't be so scary. They don't need to be right, because in a court of law, that would.
How many people do we know that are probably in jail? I mean, not that we know, obviously, like maybe personally, but like how many people have been in jail for not actually doing their crime? And even maybe it's been self-defense and they're still in jail because that's how.
But the question, but in this scenario, they ran from the crime scene, even if it was an act on self-defense, right? The fact that they ran from a crime scene is already a crime. And the fact that they told you, you're already an accomplice. So you're going to jail.
That's what I was going to say. We're already an accomplice. So at that point, listen,
so
Oscar,
you gotta
Tony.
You got to kill the friend that brought it up.
Oscar, Tony, got
it. Oh my God.
That's it.
No. I'm leaving.
Yes.
I'm leaving.
You need to kill the person that told you they murdered someone.
You wouldn't save me, Tony, if I murder someone.
I'm going
you don't even know.
No, you gotta die.
Gotta go. I'm going.
No, I don't want to die. I would have just died when the murderer came for me.
No entiendo.
Fine. I'll save you guys.
We'll
come
dig
to
the
me.
Hole, put the body in, and then we'll throw you in there as well.
I'm a ride or die. If you're my friend and you're my fucking friend,
then
you're my
gonna
family,
die.
I'm
then
a ride
gonna
or
die.
Die.
Search me.
No, Rice is a ride and die.
Ride
oh
and
my
die.
God.
We live. We live and we ride and we die together.
It's Ryza and Luisa.
Damn. Oh, they should do a remake of that.
Míralo. Dale, okay, fine. We need some coffee. I see.
Yeah, and let's not murder anyone on the way there.
Let's not do that. Okay. Disclaimer, that's not fun.
My machete and my axe are in my car. It's fine.
Stop! You're like we're accomplices again.
Oh well, too bad.
Do you have a license for that, Machete?
No. Oh boy.
Okay, cafecito break. Let's go.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, slurpity slurp, slurp, slurp. We are back from our cafecito break. Less thirsty, but guys, we're ready to make you more thirsty with our guest today. She is a change maker at the ID Tour. She is a co-founder of This Is About Humanity, Poderistas, and a founding member of I Am a Voter, mother and humanitarian. And I'd like to say, also, top five abs on Instagram, baby. Top five abs. Okay?
Wow. All right? There are a lot of abs on Instagram.
And there are a lot. There are so many abs on Instagram.
I'm sorry. You're saying abs or apps?
No, abs. Abdominal.
Why would there be abs on Instagram?
I don't know. Maybe it's a new thing they're rolling out. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Elsa Collins in the house.
Elsa Collins. The longest intro in the history of Spanish Aquí Presents.
I mean, I thought it was called Abstagram. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was originally.
Yes. I mean, listen, we could get into it from the beginning. Elsa is, you guys think I'm obsessed with working out? Like, Elsa is so fire. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to be lazy today. And I see her story and she does like her like accountability
post. You see her
abs
and you're like, damn.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, and I'm just like, I shouldn't eat salad. Should I? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you need protein. How? Forget salad. You need protein.
Yes. I know. How is like workout? Like, how do you just motivate yourself? Because you are so motivated. And I think you've inspired so many people, like, because I see them tagging you and posting.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think for me, working out is really about self-care. And as you mentioned, like, there's a lot of, you know, titles and organizations that I'm a part of. And being able to give so much of myself to other people, I really need to be giving to myself. And so I always say that my workout is my version of a glass of wine. So, you know, that's how I feed myself, how I decompress, like, you know, whether I need to get motivated for a big day, if I'm doing community service, or whether I need to wind down from, you know, something that I've done. To me, working out really is one of the most elemental things about who I am. And so, you know, like mother of three, I always say it took me three kids to get to this place. And I think that it's truly about sanity, not vanity. But, you know.
Nice. Ooh, yeah. Love that. Ooh,
I like that. With yeah.
That's the opposite workout from Insanity, the DVD.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like. I like that.
My question is, what apps inspire you, Elsa?
Oh.
If any.
I mean, I don't like to do the comparison game because that's a very slippery slope.
But you're more comfortable with people looking at your abs and being inspired. Where are the hard-hitting questions here?
Inspiration is the goal here. It's just about like, you know, we were talking about just saying like, hey, if I inspired you to like work out or take some time to do something for yourself, whether it's working out or not, like I think that's a win.
Yeah, boom. Hell yeah.
I love it.
What is like your favorite form of working out? Are you like a big cardio person? Are you like into the high impact intensity training
hit,
stuff,
if you will,
or AKA hit?
We got another list. Known. We got another list. I'm so ready.
I'm all about variability. I like to change it up. So I box, I rebound on a trampoline. I definitely do some hit on a treadmill. I do a lot of sprints and like incline sprints. I also, nothing's better than like a run outside. You can do that any and everywhere. So yeah, I like to just change it up, you know, and really just kind of keep my mind going. And it's the one time where I can kind of unplug a little bit, mm-hmm. not all the time, mm-hmm. but like 90% of the time, which is so necessary for me. Cause sometimes, you know, I can have my phone next to me if I'm doing three other things, answering an email. And this is where I can really unplug and be like, you know, I'm unavailable.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Airplane mode.
It's not just about your physical prowess we're talking about here, because we could go on and on about your physical prowess. You are also so politically conscious, politically motivated, and you are humanitarian. Where did that passion for humanitarianism start for you?
I mean, I always say it started with my mom. Just growing up, I'm the youngest of five, first generation. My dad died when I was 8 years old. My mom never remarried. And she really dedicated her life to her kids and to others. And so, you know, whether it was like volunteering or putting on, you know, fundraisers or giving back to the community, that's just how I grew up. And so it's really in my DNA. And when I look at sort of what I consider to be skills or gifts that different people are given, that they tap into, I think one of the ones that I've been fortunate to have been given is really just this desire to give back and also to try to bring other people in with me and give them tools and avenues where they can also contribute back to the community. So for me, it's really like where I grew up, my mom, my siblings were all sort of engaged in that way. So yeah, mama.
It's in the family.
Yeah. 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 So the way that I met Elsa was with She Se Puede, which you guys know about because I've talked about it before on the podcast. And we have a lot of mutual friends. America obviously works with Carlitos on Gentified. And so many of our like Latina friends are involved. You are one of the co-founders of it, which it's now called Poderistas. Can you, I guess, let our audience and our fans know a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Poderistas is something that has been sort of in the ethos of my life and so many other Latinas like America and Eva and Jess Morales Roquetto. And we have 10 amazing co-founders who really what we ended up seeing as Oscar was saying, you know, being involved in politics and civic engagement and in really engaging our Latino community to show up, seeing this kind of like cyclical appeal to our community every 4 years, sometimes every 2 years, saying like, you're the most important community, we need mm-hmm. you to show up, all these things, and then like disappearing, you yeah. know? And that happened a lot. And having worked with America for so long, I mean, I actually met her in 2008, I was helping Hillary Clinton in her first go around for the presidential campaign. And America was her first surrogate, really. And we were the only two Latinas in the mix. And that's how we met. And a lifelong friendship was born from that. But every, you know, again, 2 and 4 years, like a week, 2 weeks before the election, our phones would ring and we need to like hit the pavement. We need to do all these things. And kind of just sitting around and talking and saying like, we should really be thinking about our community 365 days of year. How can we invest in them? How can we listen to what their hopes are? How can we address, you know, the needs of our community and specifically the Latina community? And that was where Poderistas was born. And so just bringing together people from politics and entertainment and organizing and the racial justice world and immigration spaces to say like, how do we activate our community and really change the narrative and have them understand that they really are the most important people. And we mean that every day. And so definitely, I mean, it's only like we're babies, we're 6 months into the mix of it all, but had a really amazing, you know, just impact in terms of getting out the vote and really educating our community and encouraging them and letting them know that they had everything they needed to really show up and vote. And then, you know, now that we're kind of I mean, there's really no off year, as we know that the midterms are coming up. But really just thinking about all the different ways that we can arm our community with information about mental health and wellness and parenting and cooking and lifestyle and all of the things that make up, you know, who we are as whole individuals. And so it's been so amazing. It's so awesome to have you be a part of, you know, the community and just really being able to sort of activate all the time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Justina Machado is the one that had connected me and she's great. She's always so wonderful involving Latinas and stuff. So I definitely love the meetings. I'm like, I'm always like, it's really cool because it's like I'm learning, but also like I'm learning with like these like cool other like badass Latinas. And it's so nice to see like people in Hollywood also like actually care, because sometimes it's like we just see people that just post, but like so many of like the crew, like they go like they're hands on, like in a bus, like in the middle of nowhere, trying to convince like people to just vote, you know? And yeah. I think that's like a really beautiful thing to see in action. Like, so yeah. Shout
and
out for
to
that.
Add to that too, Bolerista is amazing because you're using your platform to educate the masses, you know? And like, that's not something that a lot of celebrities do, you know? They're like quite comfortable sort of like living their own lives. Yeah. But I want to ask you also, what is the responsibility there for sort of that celebrity quote unquote responsibility for political action? Do you think it exists, or do you think it's like a fallacy or something that like is non-existent at all?
No, I mean, I would say the responsibility of a celebrity is the same as the responsibility of any human being that lives in this democratic society, which is to participate. Mm-hmm. And participation is sort of the key to everything else. You know, when you don't participate, a lot of people say, well, then you can't complain. Or when you don't participate, you don't really know what's going on. I mean, even something as mundane as like what day your trash gets picked up is something that's decided by like your city council. So like realistically, the ability to say like, I'm not political isn't even a true statement, because like our whole lives are political. And by being brown, our existence is political. Yeah. So I would definitely say, I think you have people on every side of the spectrum, people who say like, you know, celebrities or athletes should have no opinions, right? Because they only exist to entertain. Mm-hmm. And, or like not doing enough and like should be really, you know, doing more, let's just say. And so I think I would say I'm holding them to the standard that I hold any citizen that I encounter on the street, which is participation.
Right. And that's very important too, because I feel like, as a culture, I feel like Latinos are almost like, we don't want to be a bother. We don't want to be a thing. We don't want to. And I think that permeates into the political thing, which is, I think like now it's front and center that we have to be active and we have to be aware and we have to speak out. Whereas before, like growing up, it's like, there's nothing we can do. And that sense of powerlessness, I think, is one of the main reasons why I think you guys are doing such a great job, because that is what we need. We need to be like, hey, it's not every 10 years, not whenever we have a census right. And they tell us that we're important. It has to be consistent. We can't take the foot off the gas, because that's.
And the other thing that I'll say, that it's wild, because when you're not involved in like a political family, or you don't really have that like sort of political awareness in your wherever you're from, it's really good to be informed. And what you guys do is you do that, you inform, so then you can contribute at a grassroots level. Like, you don't have to swing for the fences, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't have to make a home run every single time, politically speaking. Even if you activate a little bit, you're already making a change. And you've done that so much with Poderistas, like giving people, Latinas specifically, the power to activate, mm-hmm. which is incredible.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And also, so now that it's Poderistas, obviously, you know, there was a name change, which love both names. I was wondering if there's anything you can maybe let us know of, like anything coming up that maybe you guys have in the works that even I don't know.
Yes, we have so many things. Actually, one of the things that we're working on for in the next couple months is sort of a forum where we can talk about really the mental impact that this past year has had on Latinas, you know, through this pandemic, through COVID. You know, we've seen so many of our, you know, community members, you know, affected with death in the families, loss of jobs, you know, even just how we have had to maneuver our day to day. If we have kids, if they're doing distance learning, if they're at home, do you have enough computers? Like, are they getting enough activity? You know, you're kind of an all in one place. And if you live in a multi-generational household, what is that like? And so mm-hmm. I think, so we're working on doing a forum, really looking into those effects and some tools that we can give our community to really help them through this difficult time. I think, you know, so many people like don't have access to like a therapist or mental health, or that's not even something that we, you know, talk about. It's like sana, sana, colita, rana, you're fine. Right. Go to bed, wake yeah. up, reza la papá Diosito. And like, you know, yeah. and that's supposed to be that's like so fixing real. Everything.
yeah.
So, real.
So yeah, those are some of the things that we have coming up. And obviously this month, we're in April right now, is Earth Month. And then we'll be talking about Mothers and Mother's Day in May. And so I think, you know, we really try to look at sort of the pillars that our community is based around and really try to uplift those.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You guys also do. I love the dancing workouts. I'm like, I've only been able to get and do one, but I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of how bad I am at dancing.
not Zumba, like a dance.
No. Yeah. Okay. So I know before we started recording, I asked you if we could talk basketball, and we had some yes. we had some strict limit. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody listening is like, oh my God, what is she gonna have? So your husband, you just mentioned earlier, which is so beautiful, you guys are about to celebrate your 17th year anniversary. Yes,
wedding anniversary. Wedding. 22 years together.
Whoa. Yeah. You guys are so cute. I see you on the social, on the stories together, and like, I love it. He was a basketball player. I love basketball. I was wondering if you could maybe tell us like how you guys met. You're such a like, I don't know, you guys are just such a like fun couple. I'd love to hear the story.
We're so fun. Yeah, it's been a lifetime. So now that everyone's listening to this podcast, I am old enough to have been with someone for that long. Sometimes I'm like, how?
No, you don't what? Look it. But
you were a child when you met.
I know, I was a child. 18, both of which you. Is... Yeah, I was 18. He was 19. I was a freshman at Stanford. That's where I ended up going after high school. And my husband was a sophomore. And, you know, it was my first time away from home. My mom almost didn't even let me go to Stanford. She had this, you know, I'm a very traditional Mexican family, and leaving home for college was not really sort of acceptable at the time. And so she said, listen, you can apply anywhere in the world, but you're going to have to go to the Catholic university in the hometown. So I was like, okay. So I was like, I took her at her word. So I applied to Stanford, and then I got in. She's like, okay, that's great, but you're going to have to stay home. And then that's when the benefit of being number 5 of 5 was my older siblings were like, I think she needs to go to Stanford, mom. Like, so anyways, yeah. I was allowed to go. And of course, the first thing I go do is meet my now husband about a month into school.
Wow.
And obviously it was really, you know, interesting at the beginning. As I just mentioned, my mom being very traditional Mexican and growing up in Mexico, and just having, there's not a lot of racial diversity in Mexico, right? You're either basically like, you know, blanquito or morenita, everyone's Mexican. And, you know, that's kind of the racial spectrum. So I think it was really like surprising to her at the beginning that she was like, oh, okay. And okay, Elsa.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah. It's
basketball.
Pero está muy alto.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes. So, but yeah, we basically just, we met and we've been together ever since. And now we're raising 3 multiracial kids in LA and trying to do the best we can.
Yes. And they're all so beautiful. They're gorgeous. You guys have such a really beautiful family, which also they get involved with a lot of, I mean, the whole family. It's like a family affair. Like, I know that you go to Tijuana and you guys do some like nonprofit work there. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit. I know I'm like, I even emailed you on the bottom when I sent you this email, because I was like, I want to get involved now that I'm vaxxed. I feel a little bit safer.
You could totally get involved. Yeah. Yes. So basically, when the family separation crisis kind of came to be known, because we know that it had been happening for a while, you know, obviously being from the border, you know, born in San Diego, but living in Tijuana till I was 16, going to school in Tijuana, crossing the border to go to school in San Diego for a period of time. You know, I felt very compelled, you know, to understand that my lack of geography and of being born, you know, in San Diego was one that was very much a question of luck more than anything else. And so feeling like I really wanted to be engaged and get involved with these children and with these families that were undergoing a lot of trauma. And so I co-founded This Is About Humanity with my older sister and with a friend of mine, really with the goal at the beginning, the goal was really just like, how do we help these kids? That was like almost 3 years ago. And we've definitely grown and we're working with families on both sides of the border in shelters in Tijuana for families who in the past couple of years had been returned to Mexico through the MPP program, through with migrants and asylum seekers who were waiting their turn. And on the state side, working with separated and reunified families, you know, from San Diego all the way through San Francisco, supporting them with kind of the welcome that we wish that they would be getting, you know, and whether that's legal services, backpacks, school supplies, you know, whatever it is, we're sort of activating on a consistent basis to provide support to these families. So for me, it's definitely something that's very close to me, hearing these stories and uplifting, you know, the people who are working every day on the ground to really show people humanity. That's why it's called This Is About Humanity, because I genuinely believe this is a humanitarian issue. And it's about who are we as human beings and what are we willing to say is okay and not okay in this society. And really holding people and helping educate people, because I think a lot of times people feel like deep down that they, yes, that's not right. Or, you know, I want to support that, but it's such a topic that for some people seems really scary to even engage with, that they feel like better say nothing or do nothing. Mm-hmm. And really what we're trying to say is like, hey, come get closer to the issue, get involved, learn about it so that you can then go talk to, you know, your community and express, you know, how this is really a humanitarian issue and how we should be approaching it.
Yeah, I love that. I've seen like some of the posts, like when you've gone, and I'm like, oh, that's so beautiful. Like the kids always just look so genuinely happy, like just to be acknowledged, which is wild, because like there's like, it's not even about like, oh, this is like an expensive gift or whatever. It's just like, people like are thinking about us because it's, you know,
yeah. Getting acknowledged and being seen, which is like the main concern. That's part of the.
Yeah. Did you study in Stanford? Did you study like something that had to do with like humanitarian stuff, or was it like something totally different?
Well, I was a communications major. I got my BA in communications, and then I stayed and did a master's in sociology. So, you know, looking into like kind of interpersonal relations and that aspect. And then actually I went to law school after that. I moved to New York. I went to Columbia Law School.
Oh, wow.
I was like working as a corporate attorney, and I was like, I don't think I want to do this. And so I, you know, kind of like you started having kids, and then, you know, that can kind of take some time. And then really, but never had taken my foot off the gas when it came to like being civically engaged, which I felt was like, it's such a key cornerstone to like all the other work that I do, whether it's with immigration, whether it's with racial justice, which is like part, again, the participation of it is going to determine who is making the decisions and who is having an impact on what happens in your life. So a lot of times people will be like, oh, like whoever's in power doesn't really affect my life. Like if you're someone who didn't really materially feel a difference between the last administration and this administration, you're fine in this world.
Yeah.
But that doesn't kind of like excuse the fact that like some other people's lives are so materially affected, like life and death kind of decisions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like it is our responsibility to have that conscience and to really be involved for those reasons. So I think that like, even when I was like trying to decide, like, how was I going to, you know, pivot? Was I going to get back into the workforce? Because for me, really, even though I've always been like civically and philanthropically minded, like I really didn't go in so deep until I was basically like 30 something years old, which is like, I think most people feel like if you haven't figured out your career right at 21 when you graduate college, like, what are you, you know?
What are you doing?
And I was someone
get
who's
out,
like,
you're done. Yeah.
But for me, like it took all those years and twists and turns and different experiences to say like, okay, here's where I'm at. And this is where I'm going to take everything that I've ever been involved with. And now like really you know, utilize it for the things that I care about the most.
Yes. Hell yeah. That's so tight. You're always doing so, like, so much, like, and I mean that, like, in such a positive way, where I'm like, you're, you know, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're, you know, like, a daughter, a sister, so many things, right? But then also, like, you're, like, the key person for so many of these huge organizations. What does Elsa like to do or want to do when she has free time that's not even maybe not working out? Or, you know, is if there's anything else
second thing you like?
Because people ask me that too, and I always say working out. So, like, I'm like, okay, yes, you're a worker, you're a worker outer like me. So I gotta make sure I tell you, you can't say that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some things that I love to do so much, which is hard to find time to do right now, is like read a book. Mm. I mean, I know that sounds really simple, yes, but read an actual, like, touch your fingers to a page.
Get,
you know,
a paper
book.
Cut.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
right now we're so used to everything's on our phone. We're like kind of trying to read. And I'm like, no. I just want to, like, be able to sit on a couch, take out a book. Yes. And just kind of read it. I love reading. I obviously love, you know, anytime I can give anybody in my family, like, one-on-one attention, which, again, three kids, a husband, you know, in and out all the time. It's quite hard. That's also awesome. My middle child, Valentina, loves to, you know, if I ever need to run an errand, she'll be like, I'll come, you know, because she feels like that's like a bonding time, really. I mean, yeah, like, going to Target is quality time.
That's a love language. There you go.
Let's redefine what quality time is, because in this day and age, like, you know, sometimes we're not going to, you know, think of quality time about, like, how we grew up, right? Like, if we think about, you know, even like when I take road trips with my kids right now, because during the pandemic, you know, we're not getting on a plane.
Yeah.
Like, just how they have their own things going on, right? Like, headphones, iPad, they have a, like, I remember being, like, literally so bored on road trips.
Yes.
So bored, yes, nothing happening, the radio doesn't work, we're all hot, like, and we would just, you know, but, like, I have to understand, like, life is changing, the world is changing,
yeah,
you know, and like, you know, I'll pull them off of there and we'll have a conversation and we'll look at, you know, the middle of California and how interesting it is. But but also just understanding that, like, you know, we have to sort of make our reality what it is and not try to judge ourselves too harshly, especially, you know, coming out of this pandemic. I think we all wanted to be like, oh, I'll homeschool my children. I'll give them some math tutoring on my spare time. And, like, you know, like,
I love
whatever,
the hair flip. Like, yes.
Yeah. All these things. Meanwhile, I'm like, just survive for 1 hour so I can finish this one thing. And, like, yeah, I'll be right there, you know. So just also just trying to cut yourself some slack.
Don't touch anything electric. I'll be right back.
Just live.
Yes. No, I love it. Well, we were, again, so happy to have you on. Hopefully we'll see you in real life soon once the world opens up at some point, you know.
Yep.
Definitely count on SAP, you know, to help any of the orgs whenever we can. You know, we're always definitely reposting all the Poderista stuff, because I always share that on my end for sure. And before we go, can you let everybody know all the handles? We're going to tag them on the post, but, you know, what are some main handles or anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you should definitely be following at Poderistas for just all of your information about, like, health, wellness, civic engagement, just everything about what it means to be, like, an empowered Latina. If you're interested in the kind of work that I'm doing with This Is About Humanity at the Border, follow us at This Is About Humanity. We do a lot of events, COVID safe, drive-through distributions, helping families. And when it's safe, you know, we'll start to visit our friends again. At the border. And then you can definitely follow I Am a Voter. That's another organization that I'm super engaged with, and they do a lot of amazing content just around, like, democracy, the thing that we need to hold near and dear to our heart.
Yes.
I'm at Elsa Marie Collins, but I'm private. But, you know, you never know if we have a friend in common.
Request, you never know. Request.
Mira, request. Fun game.
Request and write an essay about why you should be accepted.
500-word essay.
500-word essay, and maybe she'll read it in the message.
But you know what's actually interesting? I'll say, someone requested to follow me I can't remember why I must have said yes at the moment. Anyways, it ended up, she sent me a message. She wanted to volunteer with This Is About Humanity. She ended up volunteering a couple times. And I, as we had a conversation, ended up she's a dreamer. She's DACA. She was so interested in getting involved. And it was like, you know, kudos to her. She must have said something to me like, hey, I want to do whatever. And I was like, okay. But I think like, you know, there's something exciting about making a request. But at the same time, having said all of those, having said all of those things, there are definitely sometimes where I'm like, so glad I can say no to that. Because I don't know if you're a real person. No, I mean, like sometimes you're like, I don't know what's happening. You know, especially if like they're like, no followers, also no posts. Also, you look like an image from the internet. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, you.
It's all about filtering audience. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. That's why we have these things.
Yes, exactly. But those are some of the, you know, just the handles to follow. And obviously, I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you guys, and just to really, you know, kind of like talk about what it is to be like a Latina who's just like, you know, just trying to do what I can. That's really what it is. Just trying to do what I can.
I love it.
And also, thank you so much.
While getting the apps.
While having gains, baby. You know what I mean? You truly do it all, Elsa, for real. And we very, very much appreciate that, because it's important to see somebody who's like just so active and so like a down-to-earth, very like personable person, also speak for the community, because that's what it is. It's opening that like bridge of communication, right? Because that's how we learn. We learn through talking, having those conversations, visibility. And you're able to provide that, not just with one organization, with like a billion organizations. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that work.
Yeah, anytime you want me to come back and talk about crazy moms from Mexico, what else can we talk about? Raising multiracial kids.
Okay.
I mean,
we're already teasing the second.
I know.
This goes on.
Stay tuned for part two. It's happening.
And you guys can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG, at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony at Abstagram.com.
Abstagram.
Ah,
oh, that's not it.
But actually, you should follow him on the Tony Roderick.
I think he'd be proud of that one. I think
he would.
Thank you. You know, I was really channeling Tony.
That was a good one. Wait, I need to follow all of you guys right now.
Yeah. Let's do
it. Well, you can request and write an essay.
Yeah.
And you can also check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Honestly, it helps more people find out about the show.
Yes.
Elsa, thank you.
Thank you so much,
a million thank you.
Yes.
For spending
we'll be
your
putting
time
that on Poderistas.
Oh, yay.
Heck yeah.
Dale.
No, boom.